Hello, and welcome back to Where I Am Podcast, where we have mental health discussions and we encourage women to embrace their journey. I'm your host, Erica.
And I'm Destiny.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in today. Destiny, what are we talking about today?
So we have a great guest that we're going to be speaking to a little later on in the podcast. Her name is Dr. Bates, and she's going to talk to us about the nonprofit that she has and her work as a clinical social worker. But first off, how is it going?
It is going. I had two cups of coffee today and a banana, so my sugar is going up. I'm pretty sure it's going down soon. So
how are you? Is that all you ate?
No, I had other stuff, but as far as sugary. Right.
So you're hopped up?
Yes.
All right. Love to see it. I wanted to talk to you about this book that I'm reading. So I got this book called 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. And I got it several years ago when I really needed a pick-me-up. I felt like I needed to read something inspiring, but I don't think I was ready to receive the information yet. And it's by Brianna Wiest. And so she writes different things about emotional intelligence, mental health, and wellness. So one of the things in the book that she's talking about is our upper limit. She was saying that we all have an upper limit, basically a baseline for happiness. So there's an amount of happiness that is natural for you to feel, that you are used to feeling. There are certain things that you need to do in order to increase that baseline. But a lot of people don't know that. So they self-sabotage. And when they feel anything other than what they're familiar with, it causes issues because they don't know how to increase it. What do you think about that?
That's one of those conversations that forces you to look at yourself in the mirror. And sometimes that is the hardest part of any journey.
Of life.
Yeah, of life. Yeah. Looking and I've been in that place where I didn't want to look. Or I like peeked and it scared me.
Not ready.
What about you? What comes to mind when you first started reading that?
Yeah, I really do resonate and agree with that. Because she was saying, for instance, the person who has anxiety who says, this is just how I am. And I've often said things like that. But this is just the way I was born. Like, this is just how my personality is. Until I started looking and thinking, well, that happened to me as a kid. And I was in this, I had this experience. And maybe things over time really shaped the way that I am as a person. Mm-hmm. And if there's something that I don't like about myself, it's up to me to learn how to grow and change that. And if there is a limit of happiness, which I've definitely experienced that, for instance, in relationships, I would say because, you know, my situation, my mom is a single mom and she went through tough relationships when I was growing up. So I always had this idea in my head of, you're not going to experience true happiness within a romantic relationship because you didn't really see that growing up. And if it's not something that she attained, then how are you going to be able to attain that?
Right.
When I look back and I'm thinking about certain relationships I was in, that maybe I was accepting that love and accepting whatever they were giving me because I really didn't see that I could go beyond my limit of happiness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It kind of just makes me want to reassess and check in with myself again and allow me to really see, am I going further than I can? Am I achieving all the happiness that I can? Or am I just stuck right now in a place that I think is natural for me?
What do you think right now? Are you pushing?
I think there's still growth.
To your upper limit? Or are you like, you think it's a longer, way longer journey? And you still see it, but it's like so far away, or do you think it's close, or what are you feeling?
I honestly think as an adult that there's so many things going on. Like when you're a kid, you're just so optimistic and positive about the future. There's so many things that you have to think about as an adult. Your work and your child and your home and your family that you're trying to make sure that everything is okay. Sometimes it can be really overwhelming. And for me, it can shut down a little bit when I'm feeling stressed.
Yeah.
You know, where you get into the doom scrolling and you don't want to do anything. And it's easy to just not really strive for more in terms of happiness at times because you feel like I have so much on my plate. I don't even know how to implement anything else at this given time.
All right.
So I think it is a journey. But the first step is realizing that you need to make a move.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, you weren't, when you first got the book, you weren't ready to receive the message, but at least now you're more open to it, to even right, have a discussion.
Yeah. And it's interesting how you're not always ready to receive what is in front mm-hmm. of you, because I felt like, oh, I'm going to get this book and read something that's inspirational. But I really was not feeling inspirational. I opened it. I'm like, okay, I don't know how this is going to help me in this moment. And I bought it probably several years ago. And so I just found it on my phone. I had the PDF that I had gotten. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I think that I could apply this now.
Do you think you would be in the same place being able to receive the message of the book now if you didn't have the podcast? Or you think the podcast had helped you be more receptive to it?
I think the podcast always allows me to just speak more of my mind and to kind of live in my own truth of the fact that I do struggle with mental health, and that's why we're talking about it now. So I think in that instance, the show in general is always pushing me to look inward. So yes, I do think that helps. So yeah. Yeah, it helps me to be able to always look at what's going on with me and have to assess, because you can't talk about it every week or every other week and telling other people to break the stigma and you're not looking within, right? Yeah.
Not doing the hard
part. Exactly. Do you think that you have an upper limit that, well, we all do, but have you experienced being stuck or self-sabotaging?
I know when I first identified that I was experiencing anxiety at different parts of my life, that at that time when I was telling my mom that I had, that was experiencing anxiety, and you know, we had conversations about when did it first start. And mm-hmm. when I was discussing about I know when I was little, I was like terrified of being in the dark, and which I'm sure a lot of kids have it, but mm-hmm. I was so much so that my dad had to install like lights around my whole bedroom because I was so terrified of being in the dark at night. And it almost like re-traumatized myself thinking about all the different events that I was experiencing anxiety. And I feel like that's what kind of made me stuck. I was still looking and analyzing what caused my anxiety at that time. And is that a pattern that I should be aware of? And just, I got stuck there in my childhood. And I think that's something that we all need to be aware of to make sure that we're not re-traumatizing ourselves when we look back or when we start looking in the mirror.
Getting stuck in your childhood, were you examining other things besides that were making you realize that you were stuck there?
Yeah, I think that, and also because of my choices in my adulthood, I'm thinking like, well, I wish my parents would have maybe put me in different education programs, or you know, kind of getting
like, yeah. Oh man, they should have had me in that class and I would be really amazing at this,
right?
But you can't change it, so it doesn't help.
Right, so it's almost again like re-traumatizing yourself or being in the victimhood state of mind too when you start looking at yourself in the mirror, and then that can also hinder you from reaching your upper limit or reaching that happiness that everyone should be seeking.
So how are you going about moving forward and not doing that, not worrying about the past?
Journaling has, I'm always going to say journaling because.
Like, journaling for life.
Right. Because when I know that when I experience anxiety, it's mostly because I have so many thoughts in my head, some present, some in the future, some maybe tomorrow. And because I have so many thoughts, it's like there's no way for me to manage any thoughts in my head. And so by journaling, I have it down. I don't know how it translates on my paper. I haven't actually ever read it back, what I have on my journal. But at least I'm writing it down. It's no longer in my head. So I think,
right.
Yeah, in that instance, that thought, those multiple thoughts are no longer in my head.
Well, I haven't been journaling that much, but I think talking to other people helps me.
Yeah.
To really examine. Reading different things has been able to help me examine the fact that, for instance, taking anxiety, if I'm sitting there saying, well, I think I've just always been like that. But then looking back and thinking, well, finances, for instance. Finances stress me out. But because as a young child, me and my mom have always been really close. So if anything was going on with our finances, which, like I said, she was a single mom, she would tell me, even from the time I was very young, like, oh, we're having a trouble paying this, or we're going to have to only pay a portion of that on this month, and next month we're going to pay the rest. So it always made me feel like, oh my gosh, I hope we have enough. To the point where by the time I was in high school, I'm like, are you sure we can afford that? Are you sure that we can pay for that? Even when I got my first job, I would go to the store. And even though I feel like, yeah, you get your paycheck, you should be able to buy a $20 shirt or whatever when you're in high school. But it would make me nervous. Like, should I really be spending money on this? And I think that I carry that with me now. And so I try to treat myself more, not stress when I do have it, when I do have the means to support myself properly, and kind of like you said, not keep my mindset back in that childhood mentality.
And also like express or practicing gratitude, because I know when I had my own apartment, you know, paying everything by yourself, your gratitude is like the furthest thing from your mind, because you're just trying to make sure that all your bills are paid. But you don't realize how fortunate you are to be able to be in a city and have a car, have a job, be able to have a roof over your head, a bed to sleep in. So that can also help you not feel like so unhappy, or that stress that what tomorrow brings, the stress that tomorrow brings.
And I agree. And that's actually one of the things that she said in the book, because she's talking about, well, how can you make that upper limit even higher so that you can experience more joy and more happiness. So she talks about gratitude and just the art of practicing feeling good. So allowing yourself to sit in that feeling and not running from it, not self-sabotaging, not being afraid because maybe that space doesn't feel familiar, or if you feel like, oh, I'm undeserving of this. Lean into it and don't be afraid of it. And the more you do that, the more you practice it, the better you will be at kind of raising that happiness level.
What I've learned is that everything has energy. So even the energy that you bring,
I feel like I should snap.
The energy that you bring is going to reflect back. And the same with money. So if you're having bad energy towards money, it's not going to come in abundance. So you have
like, you're not going
to
get it, honey, if you're stressed about it. I've heard that, though. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yes. And that's the hard thing for me right now because of my career situation. I'm still trying to figure that out. And I'm like, what am I going to, like, what about my retirement? What about, like, my future? Then my anxiety comes back and I have to rewire my brain to think, like, there's plenty of money in the world, and just make sure that you're going after what matters to you, what your core values are, and making sure that whatever actions you do or whoever you're around brings that more inspirational energy or positive energy that you need so that you can push yourself to go further.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you about the energy, that you have to be very careful of what kind of energy you're putting out into the world. I'll keep that in mind when I'm stressing, when I'm stressing late at night.
Trust me, I still stress sometimes.
I'll have you in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I'm trying to meditate on my gratitude for all the things. But it does help, too, to have a small child who he's just happy for any little thing.
Right.
He's just like, you want to play Hot Wheels? And then I think, why are you stressing? It's okay. Just play Hot Wheels. Go play Hot Wheels.
He doesn't know stress right now.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what you're upset about, but it's all
right. Right, and can we go to the park?
Exactly. Yeah. So like I said, if you're interested in hearing more about what Brianna Weiss was talking about in that book, it's called 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. Highly recommend. It's very thought-provoking and getting me to think more about my own life. But now we're going to jump into the interview with Dr. Allison Bates.
Yay!
Today we're so excited that we're going to be talking to Dr. Allison Bates. So she is a therapist here in Houston, and she's actually a former military vet and also a musician. She has many talents. And she currently owns the Courageous You PLLC. In addition to starting the Alice Collective back in 2020, I believe, it's a nonprofit that focuses on mental health and community engagement within the African American community. So we're so excited to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Super excited to have you.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey? We really like talking about the fact that it's okay to pivot. It's okay to try the different things and decide what it is that you like. And even if you still love what you're doing, there may be another passion that you want to pursue. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've gotten to this point in your life?
Oh, yes. I strongly believe in pivoting. And I always tell everyone I'm a Gemini, so my pivot could be every hour, every couple of days, every few weeks. It just depends. But I initially started out as a musician. My mother is a pianist and my father plays the drums. So my mom started teaching me piano when I was 5 years old. And so I was taking piano lessons. And then when I was 12, I joined the band at school because they wouldn't let me play piano. And so I picked up the flute. So initially, my goal was to be in the New York Philharmonic or play in the Boston Symphony. Like, that's what I wanted to do. I lived and breathed music. And then, you know, I started having problems with my hands and other things and making some terrible life decisions around partners and following boys. And so that didn't pan out. And I joined the Army, and I was in the Army for about 7.5 years, and I deployed twice. It was an amazing experience. I could never do it again, but it taught me a lot about what I'm capable of doing. And then after I got out of the Army, that's when I pivoted for real to social work. And this is definitely my forever career.
Okay. So you love it and you know you're going to stick with it.
I love social work because you can do anything. Amazing. You can do anything with social work.
Yes. And you've been doing it for over a decade. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I started my master's program in 2011. That's when I got out. And then I graduated in 2014, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wonderful. So you started the Alice Collective during the pandemic, a nonprofit, which it's definitely a labor of love. It takes a lot of work to go into building something like that. Can you tell us what prompted you to do that? What was the need?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to go back to childhood because my grandfather was the pastor of our church and we had a mission center. It was called the Ian Bates Mission Center. And so he'd give out food, clothing, go to people's homes, check on them. And so from an early age, I saw the people that I looked up to the most in my family giving back. And then my grandmother was a teacher and she would always take me to school with her. So I saw her giving back on that side because we know teaching can be a thankless job. But she went and she poured everything she had into it every day until she retired. And then during the pandemic, what I was seeing was that people just seemed to need support. And when you're isolated, it's like a lot of the things that didn't come to light before are exacerbated because all you have time to do is just kind of sit there and think. And what I was realizing that people really didn't have a lot of supports. And I started thinking about how I grew up and how my family were always supporting people, whether it was resources or checking on them emotionally. How are you doing? How are you feeling? If you're sick, they're going to visit you. And a lot of people I was working with during the pandemic, they didn't have those social supports. And so I started the Alice Collective to just kind of help rebuild community or teach people to learn how to build community. And that's how that came about.
It's something that's beautiful that you've been able to do, but I'm sure that there's a lot of long nights and a lot of work that goes into it that people may not see. How do you feel? How are you feeling with it?
It's because it's my passion, you know, my partner sometimes gets annoyed. He's like, who works a full-time job for no pay? And I was like, me.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm right here. But I feel like it's so worth it because it's just, you give back. That's just what I was taught. Mm-hmm. That's how I grew up is if you have the means, you give back, even if it's something small. And I know there were times where I really needed support and there were people that helped me along the way when I didn't know what I was going to eat or if I didn't have a place to live, things like that. And I know that, you know, I don't have a lot, but I do have a little. And what little I have, I definitely feel like I want to give back to my community and help people in ways that help them grow and thrive. And then hopefully it'll be like that pay it forward.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. What kind of services does the Alice Collective offer?
So we do weekly support groups. We offer low cost mental health counseling services. We do community engagement and building events. We have mental health awareness education events. And then we also do community forums. We were doing them monthly, but we have to scale back because we are working on a major event that's coming up in July. So those are the major things that we're offering right now. And then towards the end of the summer, we are working on starting up our parent respite program.
The what program?
A parent respite program for mothers and fathers.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Wow. That is definitely needed.
Yes.
Yes, and I did attend one of your events, and that was great to see different women come together that I had never met before, being able to have deep conversations. And so do you feel like in the community that people are really responsive to what you've been doing?
Yes, and it's been tricky because although we've been established for a few years now, we just really started to get off the ground last August. And so people express interest, but what you see is like when people say they want to come to something, they're experiencing something in that moment. And then by the time we have the event, whether it's a group or something like that, maybe they've resolved that issue or they no longer need that support. But overall, we've gotten such a huge, huge positive response to our services. And it's just a matter of us, you know, working out the kinks and things like that for our programs to grow. But people definitely have been responsive to our services.
And in Houston, yeah. You know, it's a big city, so hopefully there's plenty of people that need the help.
Right. And I think it's just a matter because there are so many services in Houston, and we're definitely not trying to compete with anyone. We're just, you know, kind of in our own lane. And if you see something that resonates with you and our services, then we want to be able to provide the best possible services. Or if we can refer you to someone that's in Katy or in the Woodlands or on the east side, you know, because Houston is so vast, and we'll definitely do it too, because at the end of the day, our goal is healthy community, and that's it. So.
Yeah. And earlier you mentioned your childhood. You kind of grew up in a family where you guys were being supportive to the community. What did mental health discussions look like growing up for you?
So I'm originally from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and in Tennessee back in the 80s, 80s, 90s, you know, that definitely wasn't a thing. Went to church, you prayed. I remember when my grandfather died, it was super traumatic for me because he was basically my father. No one ever talked about therapy. It was just the let's go to church and pray about it and lots of hugs. And, you know, even to this day, I still, you know, kind of feel some of that trauma surrounding that event, but definitely it was not discussed. But it's interesting because my grandmother, she'll be 91 this year, and she talks about how she wished she'd gone to therapy during that time. And she's been learning more the more I talk to her. So it's been cool to see her shift in thinking along the lines of mental health.
Yeah, that is great. That I'm surprised that she's receptive. I talk to my grandmother and say, "Would you want to go to therapy?" She said, no. I'm not talking to anybody.
She's not going
to
go.
Oh, she did. She wishes she would have gone.
And, you know, being in a small town, there's always that fear of people knowing your business. And, you know, when people kind of know who you are as the, you know, the first lady of the church and things like that, you kind of have, I don't want to say a reputation, but you are that person that people look up to. So if you're going to therapy, then what does that mean?
Right.
You know.
Right. The stigma.
Yeah, that stigma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So she's supportive, but no, she's not.
Not interested in going.
I know.
And definitely, we did have a podcast where we talked about that. And most of the people that we asked, what was it like growing up? They said the same thing. You can pray it away. And that's pretty much it. We didn't talk about it. And so it's good that we can now. We're starting to go in the right direction.
And I don't remember anyone ever mentioning therapy growing up. I don't think that was even something I came across until I was an adult. And what you find too is that a lot of parents will say, you know, I want my kids to go to therapy, but they still are kind of hesitant to go themselves. Mm. But I think the tide is shifting slowly but surely. It's going to take time.
Yeah, and nonprofits like this are helping, so that's that's awesome. That's great. Yes. Is there anything that you specifically think that we can be doing right now to help us just in this racial climate and different things that are going on? What can we do to kind of help our own peace?
As I would tell everyone, community. And logging off. I myself, I don't watch the news. I probably should, and sometimes the news I do ingest is because I happen to come across it on social media. But for me to protect my peace, and then as a therapist as well, I think it can be overwhelming to kind of pay attention to all of the things that are going on, and then everything that's happening with our clients, and then everything that's happening personally. But then as a social worker and a human being, there's a level of guilt from disconnecting too, mm-hmm. because the people that are actually experiencing these things aren't able to disconnect. And so that's where I struggle with finding that balance on protecting myself, but also still trying to be an advocate, you know, for people that can't mm-hmm. advocate for themselves. But I think when you have a good community of people around you, and you can kind of, let's say, vent or release some of that stress, I think it's super helpful. Yoga, other wellness activities. I tell everyone, it's not just about sitting in someone's office and doing talk therapy. I feel like other activities such as yoga, meditation, healing circles, just sitting and reading a book, listening to some good music, going for a walk, all of those things are therapeutic in nature and I think are just as important.
Yeah, I agree. I've tried a few different things, and mm-hmm. I like meditation. Yoga yes. is good for me. Mm-hmm. Journaling, Erica is a fan yes, of journaling. I really can't. I haven't been able to get into it too much.
A good nap, too, because, is good.
Oh, I strongly agree with naps. If anything, it's escapism at its best. Right. But I think also getting outside and just getting some fresh air, because sometimes we'll stay in the house. And I notice for me, like if I go for a walk, even if I'm walking my dog, I just feel instantly better. Yes. I mean, unless we're getting the typical Houston weather, but you know, you feel better walking outside and just getting some fresh air.
Mm-hmm. And the sun there, and kind of see your neighbors. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know before today we spoke with you earlier, a few weeks ago about, you know, you're putting everything into this project, and just like Destiny and myself, we're the only people on this team, and we can definitely resonate with you as far as, you know, trying to figure things out. How are you, like, how do you manage wearing all the hats? I know you said that you kind of had someone join the team, but how has that been for you?
It's been challenging, but because I love it so much, it doesn't feel like work. And some people say it's not work because I'm not making money, but it's when you're passionate about something, it's more exciting than anything. Learning all the new skills that it takes to run a nonprofit. But in terms of my mental health, I do have my own therapist. I disconnect. I have my dog. I'm his therapy human, so that's helpful. you know, and I've kind of been, I don't want to say keeping to myself, but I've been staying away from negativity. You know, I kind of unfollowed a lot of things on social media. So now I typically get like dog videos and little babies and things like mm-hmm. that. And so that's, you know, that's how I protect my own mental health and keep from getting overwhelmed. And I do have an amazing group of friends too, that I'm able to talk to when needed, if I'm feeling kind of too worked up or too stressed out. And so they kind of help keep me grounded.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about walking in your purpose. Like, mm-hmm. how did you feel like you're able to come to the terms of being able to do something that really aligns with who you are every day?
It feels good. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. it's hard to describe, because I've had jobs where it was just like dreadful. Like you just wake up and you get to work and it's like, is it 5 yet? Like right. I literally just got here, but I'm ready to go. And so mm-hmm. to just be able to wake up and see the impact, even the smallest impact that we're having, whether it's on our student interns or the people that come to our support groups or the clients that engage in our therapy services, it just makes me feel good to know that I'm able to do this. And I actually have the support system around me that enables me to do it, because a lot of people wouldn't have this opportunity. So I want to give a huge shout out to my partner, because he hasn't yeah. kicked me out just yet, but you know, thanks to him, I've kind of been able to really dive deep into it and give it 1,000,000%.
And how do you think that, what else can we do to break the stigma?
Like what you're doing now, and to just keep talking about it and seeing people that look like us. And when I say look like us, just everyday people who have struggles. I mean, no one is immune to challenges and mental health issues. And it doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. It's just being in this world is enough to just need to go and talk to someone. So I think that the more we continue to have these conversations and show that people really are going to therapy and they are benefiting from it, I think eventually that we won't have to try as hard to convince people that this is something that's truly helpful.
When those conversations are just the norm, because I know in certain situations you would never talk about your mental health. A lot of people at work, when they say, "How are you?" they're expecting you, "I'm good," even though you're dying inside. Yeah. Right. You're just supposed to say, "I'm fine."
I always say, "Well, what do you want to hear?"
Oh, that's
it. You want the truth,
right?
Exactly, because you want the truth. We're going to be here for a little bit.
Yes,
how much time you got?
But I try not to. What I tell people is like I maybe if I'm not feeling the best, I'll say, you know, I shouldn't complain or I can't complain, which that means that it's not to minimize what I'm going through, but thinking about the things that I am grateful for and that I do have, so I can kind of focus on that and not the current struggles. Because sometimes you can get so bogged down in the negativity that you forget like the good things are happening right in front of you.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so I know you mentioned earlier about in July, there's an upcoming event. Do you want to talk more about that event? So maybe our audience out there in Houston would definitely love to attend that.
Yes. So I'm super, super, super excited. I'm partnering with Jessica Ramos. She's the owner of JSOA Therapy, and we are putting on a block party for Black maternal mental health during National Minority Mental Health Month. And so this is going to bring awareness to the maternal mental health disparities among Black women. It's on July 13th. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Lawson Academy in Third Ward. We're going to have yoga, food, music, activities for kids, arts by Let's Paint. Shout out to Let's Paint. We're going to have a section just for dads so they can talk about things and share what dads experience as well and how dads can support the moms. Because a lot of people don't understand that dads can go through that postpartum depression along with them. So we need to make sure that we're keeping them involved and active. And we're going to have a mini thrift store where we're going to bring a whole bunch of items and the moms will be able to choose between 2 and 3 items. And these aren't just like, you know, it's not like walking into Goodwill. These are going to be some nice things that we've had donated. Postpartum care packages. We want to give out wellness swag bags to the first 200 mothers in attendance. And then we're going to have 2 discussion panels. The first one is going to be understanding the risk factors of Black maternal mental health. And the other one is going to be focused on cultivating community support and how we can support the mothers and their families. Not just single mothers, but mothers period, because it really does take a village. And so to learn more about the event, you can go to the event website at www.dearmamahtx.com. And so that's mama, M-A-M-A, htx.com. And you can register. It's free of charge. If you would like to volunteer, you can also go on the site and see our volunteer opportunities. If you'd like to be a vendor, you can also view our vendor opportunities there as well.
Wow.
That sounds like you have a lot. Yeah. I'm super excited.
Yes. We have about 30 vendors signed up so far. So we're hoping for 50 vendors. And our goal is to bring out at least 350 to 400 moms. And I think right now, our sign-up is right around 150 or so. So we're hoping to get that big push over the next month and a half to get those numbers, because we really feel it's important to bring these things to the community where it's accessible and relatable. And it's not just kind of sitting in a room and learning information, but we need to be able to do it in a way where it is enjoyable and you're doing it with people with the same, you know, who have the same interests.
Yes, I need to sign up so I can go. I know that I'd read about it, but I should go and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then when I say Let's Paint is going to be awesome. Like we're going to have activities for the kids and they'll be able to do their thing. And I don't know if y'all have heard of Shelby Ford with Let's Paint, L-E-T-Z, but her energy is infectious and she's super amazing. And I think the kids and I think parents as well will love the activities that she has for them.
We hope you're able to make the goal. You said 500 mothers?
350 to 400. 500 would be 400? Perfect, but
okay, you're like, we love it. Okay, 300 to 400. Yes, yes, okay. Yes. All right. Great. And can you talk more about, I know you said the event is focused on like maternal health for mothers. Can you talk anything more about statistics or regarding that in the Black community?
It's regarding Black maternal mental health. And so Black women have high rates of perinatal mood disorders. And so what we're trying to do is raise awareness of what that looks like, because especially in the Black community, with the stigma of getting mental health services and the strong woman syndrome, what happens is people kind of dismiss the symptoms that they have, or they normalize it and don't realize how severe they are. And then the people around them don't really know what they're looking for, or maybe it's dismissed or overlooked. And so we want to bring more awareness to that. And we'll have a lot of resources out there to help them access those if they are experiencing it, or if they know of someone who's experiencing those symptoms.
And I've heard that it takes sometimes years for your hormones to regulate after you have a child. So I didn't know that.
And we're going to be having maternal mental health assessments there as well for people to fill out. Because I know a lot of people, we have a survey for people to complete as they sign up. And a lot of people have never completed a maternal mental health survey. And they have multiple kids and they've never done that. So I just really think it's important, because we already know the statistics of maternal mortality in the Black population. And so mental health is just another component of that. So
that's wonderful.
Yes. So we're super excited.
Yeah. So a lot of things are happening within your organization that, so that's the next one that's coming up, or what do you have next?
Next, actually, we were supposed to have an event tomorrow, but we postponed it to June 31st. So it's going to be, we're going to have a paint and sip, but we're actually going to make it a game night, because we want to open it up to men and women, since we're all about community. And a lot of times some of our activities are geared primarily towards women, but we want, our goal is when we're building community, we also need to bridge that gap, the communication gap, the relatability gap between men and women. So it's going to be open to both. On July 31st at 7 p.m. at the Assembly HTX on Berry Street in 3rd Ward. We will supply the wine. The entry fee is $25. And we just ask to bring the energy. Someone mentioned having a space tournament. I mentioned having a Connect Four tournament, because I am the ultimate champion. I beat a 10-year-old all the time, so I'm pretty good. Wow. And so I think that's going to be a fun night to get everybody together. You know?
That's awesome. Are the men, have they been receptive when they come to the events? Are they talking? Are they open about their feelings?
The men's groups have been amazing. And the men, the level of vulnerability they display and the amount of information that they disclose and what they receive has been amazing. And we absolutely love it. And then we had a game night at Phil and Derek's maybe a month or so ago, and you know, the men showed up, and we had the men against the women, and of course I kind of rigged the numbers, and I just told them it was Tennessee math. I don't know, but this time we'll have them in groups working together. But yes, the men have been receptive as well, because men's mental health is just as important as women's mental health, because if we're talking about community, we don't exist in isolation. We have to be in these communities together. And so if one person isn't well, I say the entire community isn't well. So we have to help all of us. And that's, I think I said June 28th.
Because you said the date was moved for that one. I did see that one.
Yes.
On my feed.
Yes.
I know, Erica, you need to come down so that you can come to some of these events.
I know.
Yes. Where are you again?
I'm in Wichita Falls.
You're up north, right?
Yes.
That's north, yes. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I want to, I am working on we are working on a partnership with Family Scholar House. And I just want to give a huge shout out to the regional outreach coordinator, Felicia Young. They are opening up a 66 apartment unit in 2025 for single mothers over the age of 18, as long as you have a child under the age of 14 and you are enrolled in school full time, you can be eligible for housing. And so this is an amazing program. On top of all the other things they do, they have a resource line, they do case management. I mean, this is an amazing organization. And so, and they also have on their website where you can complete a benefits assessment, so they can help you get insurance, help you with college applications and navigating scholarships, financial aid, housing, food insecurity, everything. And it's an amazing organization. And so they are called Family Scholar House. So www.familyscholarhouse.org. And so we're asking everybody to go to their website and complete the needs assessment, because the more data they get, the more funding they can get to continue to bring those resources and programs to the Houston community. But I mean, I think what the apartment units that they're about to open up, I mean, I've never heard of anything like that. And I just think it's so amazing. So if you're 50 and you have a child under 14, you are eligible as long as you are enrolled in school and a part of their program. So just, and they will have more information. You can go on their website to request additional information on that and what's coming up. But we're excited to be developing a partnership with them and support them in any way we can.
That's wonderful. And we'll put all the information that you've said in the show notes so that people can find it
easily. Thank you. So,
yes.
Yeah, throwing out a lot of www, so.
We'll have everything listed in case you're listening. And
thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. Thank you for sharing all this information. We're excited to be involved and to come to more events. And I hope you continue to expand and grow, and you're bringing people on your team, right? More people on your
team? Yes. I have an amazing board, and I brought on someone who is a go-getter, and she keeps me in check, and I love it because sometimes I get out of line and she's like, no, come back to earth. And so it's been nice to have that additional help. And we've been just meeting amazing people and networking. And I just, it's been nice. It's been nice, like, kind of coming out of my shell. And as I would say, getting outside and actually showing my face. So, but yeah, there are so many great things going on here in Houston. And so I just want people to know where it is, because we have these resources available, and I feel like a lot of people just aren't aware or don't know how to access them.
I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming on the show. And just, it's very refreshing to meet someone like you that, is, you can tell that you're putting everything, your heart, your soul, your mind into a project like this. And I just wish the very best for you for your organization as well.
Thank you so much. And I think what you all are doing is great too. And I love, since we talk about community and support systems and the fact that you two have been friends for so long. And I think it's good to see how friendships evolved and navigating conflict throughout friendships, or how you sustain and maintain your friendship. And I think that's important, because a lot of people don't know how to do that. So I think it's great that you all are still going strong and then sharing your stories and experiences with everyone, because people need to see that.
Yes,
thank you so much. Yes, community is very important.
Yes. And then where can our audience find you on social?
Okay, so we are at the Alice Collective, and that is Alice with two L's, A-L-L-I-C-E Collective. And then our website is www.thealice.org. So that's where you can find us.
All right, yay. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on our socials at Where I Am Podcast. If you want us to discuss a specific topic, you can also email us at whereiampodcast@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share and leave a review.